Praise God. Let's dive into the book of Acts. Father, I pray you would bless this time, Father. Pray you'd make it fruitful. Help me to get through this and help us all just to be blessed by your word and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You can turn with your Bible with me if you want to the book of Acts. We're going to throw it right up here on the screen, but you're welcome to turn in your Bible to follow along in your own version or translation. We're just going to dive right into the scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 1. This is Luke writing, and he says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus," talking about the Gospel of Luke, "of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Next one. "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John the Baptist truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Let's all say verse 8 together, the last verse in this passage. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." That is the key passage of the book of Acts. That ought to be the key passage for the entire church in this world. It ought to be the key passage for every believer who is living this life and walking out this walk with Christ. Every Christian ought to have that emblazoned and burned into their heart. Why? Because that is why we are here. Why does God leave his church in the world? Why doesn't he just take us up to heaven when we get saved? Because we shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, and we shall be what? Witnesses to him in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. This verse describes what the church should be doing. And it also describes how the church should be doing it. What we should be doing and how we should be doing it. Now, the basic mission of the church is to bear witness to Jesus Christ. And that's even the mission of our own individual church, to advance the kingdom of God in our families, in our community, in the nation, and in the world. Amen. Just like the apostles, they started in Jerusalem, people they knew, a culture that was similar to their own culture. Persecution drove them out a little bit. They went into Judea and Samaria, very similar culture, though slightly different. And then some even went out into the ends of the world, multicultural, intercultural evangelism. E1, E2, and E3, for what it's worth. Anyway, praise God. That is what we're here for, to take the gospel out. Jesus Christ came to earth, took on human flesh, lived a sinless life, hung and bled and died and suffered upon the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Then he rose victorious over sin and death, conquered the grave, rose up, ascended to the right hand of God at the throne, And that is the message that we are called to take out to people so that they can believe it and get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit and then go out and do the same thing to other people. Share the gospel. That's what the church is supposed to be doing. And I could talk a lot about that. But today, I want to talk about how the church is supposed to be doing this. Because there are a million, bazillion different methods out there. You can go to church growth seminars. You can go to evangelism seminars. I can take, you know, four or five different evangelism methods, and they all come up with different techniques and different, you know, lines that you should say at some particular time and how you should use this object or that tract or this other thing to share the gospel. But Jesus gives us a very simple prescription right here. He said, "You shall receive power." That's how to share the gospel. I got all kinds of stuff from Pastor Buddy this weekend. He was telling me he was out in the woods one time, again, looking at this tree, and the rain was pouring down and stuff, and he had to get out from under the weather. So he's standing under one tree, and he was looking at this other tree. It was a pine tree with all that gnarly bark on it. You know how some pine trees have that real gnarly bark? And on one side of the pine tree, he said, you know, the surface of it was kind of wet, but he could see inside the bark, inside the grooves and all the stuff of the bark, that it was really dry because the rain was just kind of, you know, pouring, dripping down on it. But on the other side of the pine tree, where the wind was driving the rain in sheets sideways, the entire side of the tree, inside and out, was soaking wet. Why? Anybody? Because the wind was driving the rain into the tree beneath the surface of the bark. You know what? That's spirit-filled, spirit-empowered evangelism. You can give out the word, and people will get wet a little bit, but it'll just be on the surface. But you know, the inside, the heart realm, where the will is, remains unchanged when it's just dripping down. But when the Spirit drives the word home, when the Spirit carries that word and it empowers that word and drives it to the person, it goes beneath the surface and touches the center of their being where their will is and their heart is, and it changes them. That's the difference between just simply, you know, being out here in the flesh trying to build the kingdom of God and going out in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit drives that word home and changes that person in the depths of their heart. Praise God. I'm going to get through this eventually, man. You all are very patient. Thank you. So the how. Jesus said, don't leave Jerusalem until something happens. I'm going to send you out. You're going to change the world. But don't leave until you receive the promise of the Father. Because John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. Praise God. Now, what was that all about? Well, John the Baptist came on the scene. He came to announce Jesus, right? People were flocking to see him, repenting of their sins, changing their life, coming out to get baptized. And he said, you know, don't y'all get too excited about this, because, man, I'm just the messenger. You know, I'm going to baptize you with water, but there's one coming who is mightier than I. Mark 3:11. He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, last week we had seven people baptized in the baptistry. Man, that was awesome. Man, Leonard got baptized, brother. That was so cool. When I said, you know, anybody want to get baptized? You just stood up so bold and everything. Jake and Chloe and Justin and Julie and Alyssa and Joe. I mean, people were getting, you know, right and left coming up to get plunged in the water, man. It was cool. It was awesome. And we said that, you know, there's two types of ministry of the Spirit. There's the inner transforming power, and there's the outer performing power. And baptism is a picture. It's a symbol of what happens when we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes in and does a work in us, breaks the power of sin over our life. Our old man is crucified with Christ. We bury him in the water, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. And there is an inward transforming power that the Holy Spirit does inside of us that makes us more like Christ. And that is an awesome thing. It is a beautiful ministry. Man, when you see people who, before they were saved, you know, were just filled with rage and always angry and mad at the world and just, you know, wanted to fight everybody, and the Holy Spirit begins to transform them, and they become gentle and peaceable and gracious and loving. Or people who are just, you know, eaten up with carnal addictions and, you know, various lusts of the flesh and the soul, who suddenly get saved, and all of a sudden they're set free from those addictions and that power, and all of a sudden they become pure and holy, and you can just almost sense the Holy Spirit radiating from them. Man, that's glorious. The inward transforming power. But there is a different dynamic of the Spirit. The outward performing power that Jesus is talking about here when he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Praise God. And that is, when we talk about this second type of the power, this outward performing power, we're talking about the supernatural ability to perform signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what Pentecostals and Charismatics refer to as the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's some modern Pentecostals who want to, you know, debate about labels and stuff like that. You know, I'm not into labels. I'm just into the power. That's what I'm after, man. You can call it what you want, man. But when it comes, man, it will rock your world. Praise God. But I like that term. I think it's scriptural. Just as water baptism, baptism, the Greek word baptizo, literally means to be immersed or saturated in something. And when you're baptized in water, you are immersed with water. You can ask Joe, man, when he came out of there, he came out wet. Brother was completely wet, head to toe. I hugged him, I know. And when you are baptized in the Spirit, you are immersed or saturated with the power of God. Just as Gene was describing, that presence overwhelms you and saturates you with his power. That's different than the Spirit immersing you into the body of Christ, uniting you with Christ, baptizing when we are baptized into one body. Christ does not baptize us into Christ. The Spirit does that by uniting us with Christ. But Christ is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and he is the one who pours out and saturates us and immerses us in the power of God.